calle.
Thank you, Chair.
I was surprised when people were breaking for tea, you just came and sat as though you're waiting the school principal. We are, as you can hear, we are running a little bit late due to, you know, we are still in parliament, but at the same time, we have to perform this critical function for the country. So I will appeal that as we interact with you, if you grasp a question clearly, try to be to a point with regard to responses. I think we can all make up in terms of time. Honourable members of the panel, the same. We agreed in the morning that our questions will be pointed and to a point. And so I hope honourable members will stick to that. Thank you very much, honourable member. As you circle in, maybe we can just share briefly, there will be specific questions about what you think had brought you here in terms of your education, your experience. Make sure you talk about its relevance to the SABC board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. In the matter of background, I must also declare I'm coming here for the second time, so I hope the second time around is lucky. I was born in the dusty township of Katlehong in Ekurhuleni, and I studied IT at the Tshwane University of Technology in Soshanguve, and I hold an MBA with distinction in corporate strategy and various other qualifications in product management, IT, and certifications in public governance, strategy planning, labor relations, all this chair supported by 15 years of senior management or executive management positions in public and in private sector with over 21 total years in experience. And I'm currently working as CEO of Technochange Solutions, having worked previously for British American Tobacco, Accenture, Chevron Oil, State Information Technology Agency, and PBCB. My experience include working in countries like Zambia, Malawi, Kenya, Singapore, London, the UK, the Philippines, and in the Netherlands, among others. And I'm the member of the Institute of Directors for South Africa, and I currently serve in the board of one of the state entity under the Department of Agriculture called Agricultural Produce Agents Council, where I'm the chairperson of the Subcommittee for Risk, Audit, and Remuneration. And I'm also a public speaker in matters relating to IT, digital banking, broadcasting, governance, and cybersecurity. Why did I come here? I came here because I believe SABC requires highly qualified men, fearless warriors of the people, men and women of integrity who are dedicated, independent, understand the role of the SABC as envisaged in the Constitution and as regulated by Section 8 of the Broadcasting Act. Under the object, I believe my understanding of the PFMA, in particular the Guide for Accounting Officers relating to financial management planning, MTEF, and my command and understanding of the vision of the NDP, especially Chapter 4, page 189 to 196, that deals specifically with issues of ICT and broadcasting, could be used to improve the SABC. And ensure that it is successful, its financials are sustainable, it is profitable, and it is managed without the scourge of corruption and fraud. I am an independent thinker who is very innovative and creative, and that could be of benefit when it comes to creating better strategies to deliver content, improve financial situation, and encourage public participation for the SABC as it relates to technology. And as I wrap up, SABC requires incorruptible men and women of honor, highly competent professionals. The SABC requires leaders that can build high-performance team, that can cultivate the performance culture and build motivated and committed employees. And I'm capable of achieving that. And as part of the board, I will assist to drive the SABC towards those type of strategies when we work towards improving processes, internal control, and using my good command of the PFMA, I will assist in ensuring that we comply with Treasury regulations guided by Section 49 to 51 of the PFMA Act that deals with accounting authorities. And critical of all this knowledge, Chair, is that of compliance, corporate governance, risks management, and IT, which is what is required for the SABC. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable, thank you very much. Honourable members, the statement has been presented on the credentials of the member. So if we can just strategically isolate specific questions. Honourable Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mbogane, for being here again. The last time the matter that disqualified you was, I think, a credit. The Secretariat can double-check, but I'm sure that will be sorted out once the verification is done. Now, what is, if you can give a very, very short answer, what are your thoughts on political interference at the SABC?
The short answer is it has had negative impact, and all the stakeholders must do whatever they can to ensure that that doesn't happen.
Right. So knowing that we are looking for people who will stand up against political interference, why would you put politicians as your references in your CV? You've put Minister Tupuo Letsatsi Duba, you've put Minister Derek Kanekom. Why would you, in a position where you're not looking to hire politicians? If you're applying for a political post, you could put politicians as your references. Why, in a situation where we are looking for people who will stand against political interference, would you put politicians as your reference?
Yeah, I thought I sent an updated CV which doesn't have politicians, but nevertheless, that was my CV when I came for the first time.
Chair, I just want to indicate that it seems as if we don't have the same CV at hand as the Honourable.
No, point of order. I know it's not an appropriate term, but allow the candidate to deal competently with any question.
Yes, and this is the CV.
Let's allow the chairperson.
Yeah.
These candidates are formidable if they've made through the shortlist. So allow them to deal with these questions. I'm sure as and when we need to clarify anything, we might, but it might look incorrectly that you're wanting to protect them when maybe you don't mean so.
The Secretariat will look at the distributed CV if that is the concern for other people, but it's not a big issue.
But for me,
I liked the question, which was to a point, especially from Honourable Fanda. That's what I'm appealing for, that we really ask what is critical. There might be many, but if we're to a point and the candidate is helping us to respond specifically, we will move much faster.
Yes, for me, it doesn't matter which version of a CV you sent. The point is, this is a CV I have in front of me. This is a CV you sent to Parliament. And regardless of whether you remove them or not, at some point you thought it was a good idea to add politicians to your CV as references. So the question still stands regardless of what version of CV. Point is, in Parliament, you've presented a CV with two ministers, two politicians on them. So my question, my answer.
Thank you, Honorable Van Damme. We are South Africans, and as South Africans, we make friends. Whether in politics or in business, I could, might as well put Motsepe's name there, but what to be direct, I put those people not because they were politicians, but because are people who are friends of mine, and I felt at that stage that they could articulate. If someone calls them and says, do you know Nkosana? They will explain who Nkosana is. But it has nothing to do with politics.
I don't buy that answer because you wouldn't have changed it afterwards. You changed it because you realized that it's not a good idea to have politicians on your CV.
I changed it because I couldn't find them. They were not contactable afterwards.
But they were your friends. If they're your friends, even if they change their phone numbers, I have their numbers. So I don't buy that argument, sir. Sorry. All right. Then in 2016, you wrote an article, Black Decision Makers in SOEs Under Attack, Who Will Be on Their Side? You wrote, those that are changing the lives of black people, pushing real transformation, and doing a really good job will be targeted. You listed a number of people, Brian Molefe, Tom Moyane, Dudu Myemi, and Hlaudi Motsoeneng. So in 2016, you thought Hlaudi Motsoeneng was a good person, a black person who was being targeted. In 2016, that was the height of corruption at the SABC. Anyone with half a brain could tell that there was rampant corruption at the SABC. Why then, in 2016, would you think Hlaudi Motsoeneng was just being targeted? And you want to serve on the very same SABC board, which is now charged with cleaning up the big mess that he left. SABC is at ground zero because of Hlaudi Motsoeneng. Yet you, in 2016, thought he was just a poor black person who was being targeted. When the whole country was saying Hlaudi Motsoeneng is corrupt, you said he was just being targeted. So how can I, knowing that you were a supporter of Hlaudi Motsoeneng, say you must be on the SABC board, the same board that is cleaning up the mess that he made?
Thank you, Honorable Member. First, I was not a supporter of Hlaudi, but I was at that stage against what I felt was an attack on black professionals. But coming to your answer, in life, and people start to know certain types of people, and you later realize that what you know of the people is incorrect. So I could say that maybe I shouldn't have quoted those people because they created a mess out of a good statement, because that was a good statement. So in quoting those people, I was wrong. My argument, and I'm an open book. When I've got an opinion, I put that opinion informed by the information that I have at the time. So I did put that in opinion piece informed by what I had known at the time. And in hindsight, I shouldn't have quoted those people.
Again, sorry, Chair, I don't buy.
Can I just indicate, we have taken 5 minutes of your time.
Okay, so my last question now. Just to say, I don't buy that once again. In 2016, the newspapers, the media was full of the corruption Hlaudi was committing. It was full of the corruption, all these people you're mentioning. You knew very well that Hlaudi was a corrupt person. And I don't think it's a good enough excuse to say, well, you know, the argument I was making was a good one. For me, anyone who comes here before me And at some point thought Hlaudli Motsoeneng was a good person when there was a public protector's report saying he was implicated in corruption. I will not support them for the SABC board. And I don't buy the argument that you didn't know. Everyone knew in 2016.
I respect that.
Yeah, I was going to say there are other questions. So if there's an opportunity to come back, you will. But I don't want you to spend all the time on one question. Honorable Van Schalken.
Thanks, Chair. I think we are that Dembo Kani. Okay, no welcomes. No, feel free. I think we welcome the opportunity and also the zeal that you could have confidence to be interviewed by Parliament to participate, assist our citizens in the SABC. So thank you for the interest. I think I will ask, in the light of what the Chair is raising, I will ask my questions, you will note, and then as you respond to all of them holistically. Because I think that assists, then you will be able to differentiate where in the level they may be falling. I don't know how can we avoid the issue of bankruptcy in the SABC. Remember, we had had much time SABC being bankrupt. And then on the issue of the digital migration, it's a very important matter in the SABC. How would you contribute to its speedy implementation? And then the other thing would be vis-a-vis Companies Act and the Broadcasting Act. Do you understand the role clarification with regard to SABC and the, how they interlink? Maybe I would want you to clarify me there, because it represents the insight about the SABC. The other one will be, do you pay TV license? Do you have one? And on the culture of ensuring that our people do pay TV licenses, what can we do? Because our people are unemployed and poverty is with us and are not working. What can we do about the payment, the culture of payment for TV licenses? I think those will be my questions to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. On the issue of preventing bankruptcy, I think practical steps currently that are required for the SABC is for politicians to come to the party. My view is that they have not necessarily come to the party, because we've had a good board up to this far, and I sense that there had been some frustration that there was no support. That's why we are back where we are, or where we were 2017. So we need to put funding into the SABC and ensure that there is accountability, and ensure that that funding doesn't go to corruption or to fraud, but it creates a situation where SABC is profitable. On the issue of digital migration.
Chair? Okay. Just on one, that point, maybe I will not interject again. Would you characterize or would you classify the leadership provided by the minister while there was SAB problems around employees and so on as not having came to the party? Do you really think the politicians are not into the party? I think if you may recall that incident, how would you classify that? Thank you.
During the current board that was appointed in 2017, there's been changes in ministers. my clarification says when a new person comes, that person sort of tries to get to understand what is happening, and in the process things get delayed. I'm not going to say they didn't do something necessarily, but they contributed to the state where by end of this month, SABC might not be able to pay salaries. On the issue of digital migration, it's an issue where we need supporting legislation. There's been policies, there's been programs being developed around DTT. The private companies have implemented some of those programs. The SABC has not. And we need to look at the project plan of the SABC as to why the digital migration has not happened at the speed at which it needs to happen. So if I'm appointed, I will ensure that I focus on that to ensure that we speed up, because at the end of the day, those are some of the programs or technologies that could improve the SABC, that could create better content, that could help the SABC to send content out and to distribute content. On the issue of the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act and the linkages, the Broadcasting Act is the governing act for the SABC. That act gives guidance to the SABC in terms of appointing boards, in terms of the editorial policy, in terms of the composition of the board, the quorum of the board, in terms of the editorial independence, how SABC should structure itself in terms of how journalists must be treated, in terms of how the board members must behave as part of the SABC, in terms of who owns the SABC. The Broadcasting Act Chapter 2 clearly states that the South Africans owns the SABC. And then in terms of the Companies Act, I want to go to the Companies Act, Section 8A5, says the broadcast, it states that with effect from the date of conversion of the company, and this is from the Broadcasting Act. Now I'm linking it to the Companies Act. It says, with effect from the date of conversion, the Companies Act applies to the corporation as if it had been incorporated in terms of the Companies Act on that date, save for the extent stipulated. So the Broadcasting Act links the SABC. It says, as the SABC, we need to comply to the Companies Act. In terms of the TV license, yes, I do pay my TV licenses. And then the last question was the culture, where you talked about how can we assist. It is fact that South Africans are poor. It is fact that there are those that could pay and that could afford to pay, but they are not paying. The question is why? Because those that can afford to pay must pay. Now, we need to improve the content that the SABC is issuing out. We need to make it easy and innovate around how do we encourage the fact that people will pay, for example, for multi-choice. It is because they think the content there is of quality that they will pay for. So I think we need to work hard on making sure that we improve the content of our programs in the SABC and give people motivation to pay. Besides other things that we can do, which is creating legislation to force people, but I will say, let's encourage people first to pay. Thank you.
Honorable Sadie, are you covered?
No. Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Mboka.
Afternoon.
I'll appreciate if you can be very brief. I'm going to raise all my questions, and you will be taking note of the questions that I'm going to be raising, so that as you respond, you are then able to respond to all of them at a go. We Parliament has, on a number of occasions, taken a very painful decision to dissolve the boards of the SABC in the past. I'm sure you're aware. If appointed a board member, I'm interested in knowing what is it that you are going to be doing individually or collectively, differently this time around, so that we don't come back to another dissolution. The second one relates to the 8th of May. I want you to outline the role of the SABC when it comes to the 8th of May, and what is it that the SABC can do to minimize complaints from the parties. The last one, there is a debate from some other people around the role of the executive directors in the board, that their role might need to be reviewed. Some are saying it can't be right, this element of a player and a referee. What's your take on that one? Those are my questions. If you can just be very brief, so that we are able to deal with all these things within the 5 minutes as allocated.
What will I do individually or collectively? The biggest thing is compliance to the laws. People get removed because then they stop complying to the laws of the country, and that opens gaps for corruptions. It opens gaps for fraud. Also, people need to be able to differentiate between work or responsibility that this parliament has given to them and their friendships. Because if they can't differentiate, that's where you start to say, as a board chairperson, for example, you are unable to control somebody in the company because that person is your friend. You can't tell them, this is wrong, stop this. So you need to have people like that who will be able to say, when we are outside, we are friends, but here we are working, and when we're working here, we need to comply to the law, because the Broadcasting Act says this, the CASA Act says this, the Constitution says this. That is very important, compliance to the law, and for people to understand that is when they are given responsibility and are trusted by this House to fix things, they must fix those things. The second one is on Election Day. The Constitution states very clearly, I think in Section 181, the role of the SABC in terms of ensuring that there's a freedom of speech, ensuring that there's equality, ensuring that there's justice, ensuring that there's fairness. That is also emphasized in the Broadcasting Act. Broadcasting Act also add to say the role of the SABC is to enhance democracy. How do you enhance democracy? You enhance democracy by making sure that people are treated fairly. Educating people about elections. It's the role, because people in the villages and in the rural areas, most of those people only have SABC for the news. They've got nothing else. So it is the role of the SABC to ensure that it educates the public about democracy, about the importance of the 8th of May. And it must ensure that it does that very fairly. It does that in equal measure, so that everyone is able to feel that we are being treated the same. In terms of the executive directors, the Broadcasting Act gives the directors the status of board members. The King IV and the Companies Act gives directors of other companies, for the lack of a better word, the status of ex officios for executives. Now, the problem I have is that it becomes a contradiction, because those people in terms of the Broadcasting Act are actually board members, and they are playing the role of player and referee. So my proposal, if it things has to change, is let's give them the role of ex-officio members of the board. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kalako. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Kalako. Honorable Sunday.
Thank you, Chi. Welcome, Mr. Mbukani. I had a look at your social profile, and I see that you're a huge ANC supporter. You're not only a former ANC branch leader and a former regional ANC youth leader. Also, your recent tweets reflect to President Ramaphosa, says that you are putting your hopes and faith in him and his team, both in government and the ANC. Also, all efforts must be towards creating ANC victory in 2019. With having said this, I want to know, how will you convince this panel and the public that you will be able to act independent of your strong personal political views?
Okay, thank you. this matter was covered when I was here for the first time, and I'm going to cover it exactly the same. It is public knowledge that I'm the member of the ANC. That is public knowledge. But also it is public knowledge that I'm an official. I'm a worker. And when workers are hired, whether in government or in private sector, they've got their own different affiliation. But when they come to work, they are part and members of the employer organization. They must comply with the policies and procedures of that company, even if they don't agree with them, because maybe it's against, let's say, their political thinking, but they must comply with the policies and procedures of that company. So I'm able to separate those two things very well. So if I'm hired as member of the board, my role will be to ensure that I comply with the policies and procedures of the SABC. But most importantly, I listen to the National Assembly, because the Broadcasting Act states very clearly that the National Assembly it plays the oversight role over SABC. Thank you.
Before I thank you, is there anything which honorable members have not raised with you, which if we, for some reasons...
Chair, sorry. Okay. Just one thing. Just one question.
I thought you said you're fine.
Yeah. There's a provocation. We have engaged with the candidate before, that's why we don't have a lot of questions from last
yeah.
year.
Can I just ask one thing, that you be to a point?
Yeah. Okay. This part that you just answered, is really hard. So because, by the way, your life in the board is going to depend on it. The city press reported that Mbalula went to meet editors in the SABC to say that they must cover the ANC. If you are a board member, what would your reaction have been to the story that they themselves confirmed as the communications of the ANC? What is your reaction to that? What would you have done?
I would have condemned it, because remember that the Constitution is clear about freedom of speech. It's clear about how the SABC should give news. It's clear about equality and justice. If the journalists felt they were attacked, anyone who attacks a journalist, we know, must be condemned. So if they felt that they were treated unfairly, also it cannot be right.
Temptation to make a follow-up. Just the last one, as I had started, is to say, if for some reasons your name end up being in the shortlist to the National Assembly and the President of the country, President Ramaphosa, is there anything which people can bring to the fore which might be an embarrassment either to you or to members of the panel or to parliament as a whole, which we have not asked you about and you have not spoken about?
Thank you very much. I don't know of anything. I know that last time the issue was the credit thing, and that I can declare that has been resolved. No crime, no nothing.
Thank you very much for your time. We thank you. The process will continue, as you know, and the secretariat will certainly be in touch.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Travel safe.